just three different sandwich places, and you think about that time in the little manufactured home in the orange groves, the sandy front yard, the way it smelled like rot and Swiss cheese inside. Somebody told you it was a chemical they used in making the house. Somebody told you it was formaldehyde. But isn't that what they pickle the frogs in high school? This wasn't like that. Anyway, you were visiting relatives in Florida. It was a horrible time. You remember tension. Your mom, dad, a grandfather, and one of a succession of wives. Everybody's so weird and uncomfortable. No one able to say their feelings. You remember your grandfather laughing, using some weird trick to hurt your fingers. Something he learned in the Marines. Out of nowhere. Why would he do that? Insecurity, maybe? Something about your youth really pisses him off. Later that night, you're trying to sleep, and suddenly, it's there with you. A demonic presence. For no reason at all, you weren't thinking about demons. Out of nowhere, a vault cracked open in the foundation stone of your mind, and the gate swung wide, and there it was. You were raised to believe hell wasn't real. Your people didn't teach fire and brimstone. Only love and gentle disappointment. But there was definitely a demon that night. So close, so present, so happy to be here, so pleased by your terror, the abject shriek in your mind, the perfect silence as you tried not to wake your parents up. There was definitely a demon that night. It took hours, or maybe it took all night, to come back from that. To close the gate. To decide that wasn't real. It hadn't happened. Over a long enough period, anything can be rationalized. Anything can be explained away. Anything can be forgotten, mostly. You saw visions other times. Once, after you'd stayed out all night praying, you saw the prophets looking down on you from heaven. But that was when you were trying. That might have been psychosomatic. You're not sure about God, after all. But you weren't trying at all that night in the orange groves. And you have a nagging sense there might be a hell. Love seems rare in the universe, and pain seems common. There are images you can't get out of your head. Not just the stuff everybody thinks about. Genocide and torture. It's not a theodicy problem. It's the comical idiot stuff you can't shake. That guy who got boiled alive in the oven at a canned tuna factory, or as a ragged ex-divinity student once asked when you were pontificating about God's great mercy, if one only asked for it. Do you really think the children who died in abandoned refrigerators didn't pray? Anyway, it always seemed like, when you look back on it, like there were only two possibilities for that night. Either you had a psychotic break or somehow you'd slipped the surly bonds of Earth, put out your hand and touched the face of hell. This is why you don't have anything to say when your boy tells you that he is seeing cracks in reality, or that he doesn't like to be alone. That's why he's always watching those dumb YouTube videos. If the TV's not on, he feels like someone is there. Someone is watching him. This sounds like the kind of thing a kid would say in a Hollywood movie, in a very serious voice. But he says it kind of casually, like it's just a normal explanation. Like, demons are just something you live with. You want to protect him. Like that old TV show where William Shatner switches place with this kid. To protect him from the playground bullies who are supernatural and never get any older. And how the hell would that even work? Does the kid go to the office every day? Does he learn accounting? But first, how can you protect him when you believe him? Either you're crazy, or there really are demons, and a gate to hell that sometimes gets left open. And second, maybe those demon bullies from the Shatner movie are onto something. Never getting any older, because it doesn't really matter. If you could protect him from bullies and tuna ovens and refrigerators and schizophrenic breaks. All those exotic horrors. Because you can't protect him from the inevitable, the obvious, the mundane disappointment of life. Every year there's another flavor you can no longer taste. You think maybe it started with snow cones, strawberry wafer cookies, fried chicken, Coke. Those things that used to give you so much pleasure, you really tasted them. But if the young kids of today will allow you a metaphor from another time, the grooves in your favorite song get worn down. That song you loved in high school, driving around with your friends late at night, no parents, slight tinge of sex laid over everything, not knowing you'll listen to that song 1,000 times. Washing dishes or changing a diaper, or doing data entry until the memories are all smeared together. It's like the heat death of the universe, with all the energy uniformly distributed, and nothing has any more intensity than anything else. Young is the best part of life. If he's not enjoying that, well, it doesn't get better. But what if there was a way to get that back, is what you started thinking. Not too long after your kids started making creepy announcements about the malevolent presence hanging around the house. Which you are pretty sure he does not mean as a metaphor for abuse or neglect or anything. So you start putting out feelers, the way people do. Try to make contact, the way people do. Maybe you post on internet forums, or maybe you just staple flyers to creosote sweating telephone poles in your neighborhood. You make clear you just want to have a conversation. Make clear you just want to understand. Jokingly promise to leave the holy water at home. But you both know holy water only works if you believe in God. And that's not where you're at with this. You've got a different religious framework in mind. Sandwich shop before the train station, you swing the glass door open, let the cold air blast in behind you, go to the counter, give an order, sit down to wait. It's not too long before you're joined. That presence is so familiar, feels like it's clawing at you, hungry to tear you open. Skull first. You come to understand over a couple of cokes, fizzing and sweet and so alive in your mouth, that it's nothing personal, the terror that's being inflicted on you.
What do you want to know?
It asks.
And before you answer, let me ask you this too. Are you sure you really want to know the answer?
What's out there?
You ask, screwing up your resolve.
What's beyond this life?
Like breathing on coals, the gray eyes glow red for a moment.
Hail,
it says.
And that's all? What about heaven, redemption, reunion with the ones you loved, the journey back to God, all that?
No answer.
For how long?
The red glow flares bright and then slowly fades, but never quite disappears.
No,
you say, angry now.
I reject hell. That doesn't make any sense, to punish people forever for the sins of a finite lifetime.
No one said it was a punishment.
But why? Why any of it? Why eternal torture? Why not heaven? Why not eternal happiness?
The sun.
The red eyes burn bright again.
Is that really what you want? For your best life to be out ahead of you? In some hazy future? You want to live on a fuzzy promise of scraps of happiness from the table of some God who tortures you for no reason by making you endure a shittier life before providing relief. So cruel and so unnecessary. Hale, though. Hale is committed to giving you your best life right now. What if I told you, this moment right now, however shitty it is the pinnacle of your experience? What if I told you,
but
you are destined for hell? You can't change that. But this moment, it's a reprieve. A chance, a fleeting chance to taste sweetness.
But that's not true. Life's not sweet for everyone. Not even for most of us, maybe.
No, it's a mixed bag for sure. But I promise, in your memory, it will seem sweet compared with what comes after. The trick is keeping that in mind. Right now, in this moment, no matter how bad it is.
What about kids who were born with severe birth defects? Were born for a short, fast life of pain every moment?
Sometimes they are more or less comfortable. Sometimes their grief-stricken parents stroke their hair in hell. That never happens.
But
my old friend.
Those eyes burn almost kindly as it puts a hot, ashen hand on your shoulder.
Squeeze this life for all it's worth. Do not look to the future for comfort. Be present where you are. Eat these fries. Do something you like every now and then. Laugh at dumb jokes. Love some people. Overall, my old friend, you have it pretty good. Bear with the pain. See through to the end. I promise you, it only gets worse. And that's our great gift to you.
It stands up, takes a few of your fries, and stalks away into the night. So you go home to your boy. He's playing video games in the living room. Something with trippy colors, abstract swirls of light. So beautiful. You bought that for him. That beauty. Those exploding digital crystals of color. He tells you in that casual way that when he plays this game, he sees the cracks in the universe. You don't say anything, but late that night, when he's having a nightmare from which he never quite wakes, you adjust his blankets so he can be a little more comfortable. And for a long time, you sit at his bedside and stroke his hair. Watch his small chest rise and fall. As the seconds pass and ebb away into the night.